Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. And it will be on the screen for you. And it reads, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Let us pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together during this festive season. And Lord, we ask that we draw near, that you draw near to every heart, the joyful and the hurting, the hopeful and the weary. Let your gentle light break through every shadow we carry. Let your peace settle over every anxious mind. Let your hope rise in every discouraged heart. Let your love reach the ones who feel forgotten. Open our hearts to your word and help us to reflect your compassion to those around us. Holy Spirit, be present in every moment of this service. Amen. I was going to ask a question. Was anyone at Christmas at the Cobbles a few Sundays ago in town? Was anyone there? Was anyone present? No? Well, I can imagine or can give you a rough explanation, because I was one couple years ago. I missed this one because we double booked and got our timings wrong. But when what normally happens, you have like loads of rides for the kids and stuff for them to party and go and spend a lot of money. But also, there's a come a point where they all count down together and the lights in town come on. Fireworks goes up from one of the buildings, we don't know which one, and it's very spectacular. It's amazing. The cheering, the crowds, it's an amazing and wonderful atmosphere. And this also is like one of those things, you know, the light coming on is the start of the Christmas season, it's making you, everyone very excited, and it doesn't disappoint. But also, Advent is like that. So when we light the candles, it helps us to reflect on the joy that Christ brings. That longing for a Savior in a dark and dreary world. We've entered into the season that the world calls festive, magical, joyful, heartwarming. A season filled with lights, decorations, food, gatherings, family traditions, Christmas adverts, presents, music, celebration. But for many people, both Christian and non-Christian alike, the festive season may not be a time of joy, but a time of heaviness. For some, December does not bring excitement. It brings memories. It brings grief, it brings pressure, it brings loneliness. It brings reminders of what or who is no longer here. For some, Christmas is not something we enjoy. It's something to survive. And I want us as a church to see clearly today, because Advent is not just for the joyful. Advent is not for those who feel not only for those who feel close to God. It's not just for those who are celebrating. Advent is for the weary. Advent is for the overwhelmed. Advent is for that person who doesn't know Christ and sits in the darkness. But it's also for the Christian who feels numb and ashamed, that they don't feel festive like everyone else. Advent is for the grieving person who wishes that they can hide until January 2nd. Advent is for the one who is hurting, but has learned very well to disguise it behind a smile. It's for a world that is tired. It's for a world that is broken. It's for a world that is desperate for the light to break through the shadows. And so today we are going to talk about comfort. We're going to talk about how God comforts us and how he calls us to comfort each other. Now, this is one of the greatest ways we can show Christ to our non-Christian friends and family. Not through arguments, not through fancy words, but through our compassionate presence. Because the world has people who are silently asking that question. Does anyone see me? Does anyone care? And today we are going to answer that question the way Scripture answers it. Yes, God sees you. And yes, God cares. And he calls his people to care as well. And as it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all comfort. He is the Father of compassion, Paul says. And he is the God of all comfort. And if anyone here needs comfort, you have come to the right God. But Paul also takes it further. He says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That says to me that God does not comfort you so that you can keep it to yourself. He comforts you so that you can comfort others. Comfort received becomes comfort given. Healing received becomes healing shared. Grace poured in becomes grace poured out. We are called to comfort everyone in our lives who is hurting. Not only those outside the church, and not only those inside the church. Christians grieve. Christians feel overwhelmed. Christians battle depression. Christians cry at night and then pretend that everything is fine in the morning. Christians dread Christmas. But also non-Christians feel this as well. And one of our greatest forms of evangelism is compassion. When we comfort the hurting, both Christians and non-Christians see Christ in our comfort. As I said earlier, for many, the festive season amplifies grief. The music feels too cheerful. The light feels too bright. The laughter sounds too loud. That empty seat feels too painful. Traditions that used to bring joy now brings tears. Everything feels so distant. But Psalm 34:18 reminds us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It means when you feel sad, when your heart hurts, when you miss someone, when you feel left out, But when you feel you've had a hard day, God comes close to you. He doesn't stay far away. He doesn't wait until you feel better first, then come to see you. He doesn't tell you to stop crying, to be strong. No, God sits with you in your sadness, just like a loving parent, loving friend, or a loving older sibling would. Imagine your heart like this toy that breaks into pieces. You think it can't be fixed, but God says, I'm right here. I see your hurt. I will help you. This psalm tells us that God is with you when you cry. God is with you when you feel alone. God is with you when things don't make sense. God is definitely with you when you're scared. And God is with you because he loves you. And because he's close to us when we're sad, he wants us to be close to others when they're sad too. So if you see someone upset, you can be like Jesus to them. Just by simply giving a smile, sitting with them, praying for them, just being kind. God comforts us, and we can help comfort others. I myself, and many others may too, freeze when someone is grieving. But silence hurts more than awkward words. You don't need to have a speech. You don't need to be brilliant either. You just need to acknowledge the loss. I'm currently covering in Slough store in Aldi, and we're all joking and laughing and talking about Christmas, what we do. I always talk about my wife going above and beyond with Christmas. She was wearing Christmas jumpers middle of November to every opportunity she had. And then I remember just turning to one person and saying, so what do you do? And they just say, I do nothing because my husband is no longer here. And I froze for a moment. And then the only words that could come out of my mouth was, I'm sorry. And they say that meant more than anything. So words like, I'm sorry, I've been thinking about you. I know this season must be difficult. I haven't forgotten about them. I am here. Helps us to show Christ in our comfort. And it also demonstrates so clearly, as it says in Galatians 6 verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. I want to keep stressing and encouraging you that our presence is a ministry. Our presence. Don't start to think about some person, this is for some person, or a relative or someone else. It is for us. God uses us. Matthew chapter 5 verses 3 to 5 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now what does that mean? Poor in spirit. This means people who know they need God's help. It's like saying, God, I can't do everything on my own. And Jesus says, that's a good thing, because God loves helping us. What about those who mourn? This means the people who are sad and hurting, Jesus doesn't ignore them. He doesn't tell them to stop crying. He says they are blessed because God will comfort them. God is extra close when we're sad. The meek, these are people who are gentle, kind, and patient. Not pushy, not bossy. And Jesus said they will receive a special blessing from God. God sees us when we're sad. God helps us when we feel small. God loves us. And he loves when we are gentle and kind. God is closest to the people who need him most. You don't have to be the strongest or the happiest for God to love you. He loves you right where you are. And there is a reality to grief that becomes more vivid during the festive season. And grief is so exhausting. Grief is lonely. But we are so thankful that we have a God who is aware of all of this. And he's not distant from it. Actually, Lamentations chapter 3 captures this reality. A deep sorrow followed by a deep hope. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. Starting in verse 17, sorry. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to those who seek him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Yet I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Lamentations 3 is a part of a Bible where someone is feeling very sad. They miss the good old days. They feel very tired and lonely. And they say, I don't remember what happiness feels like. Has anyone had a day like that? A day when you feel upset or everything goes wrong. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Or about a day when you miss someone. That's how the writer felt. But then something amazing happens. In the middle of all that sadness, he remembers something very important. God's love never stops. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That means every day God gives us new love. No matter how hard yesterday was, God gives us a new start. God never runs out of kindness. Endless supply. Even when we feel low, his love is still full and strong. He stays with us, even when we're sad. He doesn't disappear when life gets hard. He walks with us through it. There is always hope in God, with God, sorry. Even if today feels dark, God can bring light tomorrow. So what do we see from Lamentations that we can relate to in our lives and relate to when we give comfort? We see that it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to tell God how you truly feel. But also remember that his love never runs out. Neither does his patience. He always has time for us. Always be there with us. Every morning is a new chance for God to help us again. And he is there, waiting, ready, because he is faithful. Always. Not sometimes, not maybe. God is faithful always. And for those who are hurting, it's like God whispering, saying, I know your heart hurts, but I will never leave you. I will give you new hope every day. And that scripture also reminds us in the New Testament, as we pray for others, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, I pray that out of his glorious riches may he strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you are rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know his love that surpasses all knowledge, and may you be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. Like in the end of the Lamentation verse, sometimes the most spiritual thing we can be is just to be still and let God fill you. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I know we're starting off in Advent, and we're expecting Christ into this dark and dreary world. But it's also great to encourage and remind you that what you're doing, what you're contributing to, doesn't have a dark and dreary end. There is definitely light at the end of the tunnel. And we are so fortunate as Christians to have the entire Bible, so we know what the end says. Let's read Revelation 21, 3 to 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne saying, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It says God will come and live with his people forever. That means we will be with God and he will be with us. Not far away, not invisible, but close, like a loving parent. Loving, guarding, protecting us. Then it says something even more wonderful. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's so personal, so intimate, that for a moment you can imagine God reaching down his finger and wiping away the tears from our eyes, like someone who loves us very much. He does this because there will be nothing left to make you sad anymore. The Bible says, no more crying, no more pain, no more getting hurt, no more sickness, no more being scared, no more missing someone you love, no more death, no more sadness at all. Everything that hurts now will be gone forever. And then God says, I am making everything new. That means God will fix everything that is broken, not just a little, completely. He will make a whole new world that is perfect, happy, safe, full of his love. God is going to live with us forever. He will take away every tear, and he will make this world with no sadness, and he will make everything new. Imagine him saying, I know things can be hard now, but one day all sad things will become untrue. Just to recap, Psalm 34:18 says, when God is close when we're sad, God, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. That means when your heart feels hurt and you miss someone, God is close to you. He doesn't run away from sadness. He stays with you to help you feel safe and loved. Matthew 5, God blesses the sad and the gentle. Blessed are those who mourn, God will comfort them. Blessed are the meek, God will give them amazing blessings. And lamentation, God gives a new hope every day. The writer of the book is very sad and felt like everything is going wrong. Something that we can all relate to. But then he remembers that very important thing that I want to remind everyone here as well. Is God's love never stops. His mercies are new every morning. Every day God gives us new love. His kindness never runs out. Even if today is hard, God can bring new hope tomorrow. And as we looked in Revelation, that God will make everything new one day. That beautiful promise in the future that we start looking from at Advent is coming to completion, where there will be no more death, no more crying, no more sadness. And yes, the Advent season is for the weary, the grieving, the overwhelmed, and the brokenhearted. Yes, Advent speaks into our sadness and shines light into our darkness. It also reminds us that God draws near to those who feel far from joy. But don't forget that Advent reminds us of that glorious truth. Joy himself has come into the world. Not a fragile joy that breaks under pressure. Not a shallow joy that disappears when life gets hard. Not a temporary joy that fades when lights come down. But a deep, steady, unshakable joy. The joy of Christ. This joy says that you are not alone. This joy says God is with you. This joy says that hope is alive. This joy says light will win. Heaven is coming. And here is the privilege that God gives us as a church, as we share that joy. We share that comfort. We get to be the people who bring light into darkness. We get to be the arms that God uses to embrace the hurting. We get to be the voice that God uses to speak hope into sorrow. We get to be hands that wipes tears and hearts to sit with those who mourn and friends who remind each other God's mercies are new every morning. This is not a burden. This is not a task. It's a privilege. Because we are sharing what Christ has already shared with us. Advent is joy. The joy that comes with Advent is not to be hidden. It's a hope that's not meant to be kept to ourselves. It's a comfort that's not to be stored away privately. We have been comforted so that we may comfort others. We have received joy so that we may spread joy. We have seen the light so we may shine his light. Let us enter this festive season being prepared to understand that there is a need for comfort, but also know that we have a source in Christ to receive his joy, to receive his love every morning, so that we can go out and be fresh for those who are hurting. Be a bright light in a world that needs, in a dark world that needs light. So how can we show up? Let us become more aware, looking around, noticing those who are sad, who are hurting. Don't freeze when having that moment. Acknowledge pain. More importantly, understand that your presence is a ministry. So be present. When someone shares something with you, sad or hurting or painful, don't say, I will pray for you. Pray for them immediately. That speaks more volumes than anything else. Invite them. Invite them to church. Invite them to pray, into groups, to Bible groups. And more importantly, follow up. Don't just leave them stranded. And make sure you show that gentle joy. My prayer is that as we go from now to January 2nd, that we have eyes to see the hurting, hearts that bend towards the broken, hands that are ready to serve, words ready to comfort, and a hope rooted in Christ, the light who shines in darkness. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that comfort doesn't start with us, but it starts with you. Thank you that a new day doesn't start with us, but it starts with you. Thank you for being that source of unlimited joy, unlimited love, unlimited comfort. And Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, but not your presence, and we have this opportunity to share your comfort, be with us, Lord. But Lord, more importantly, let us be honest with you when we need your comfort. Let us be bold to approach you with our broken hearts, our shattered minds. Let us be bold and be confident to know that you will meet us wherever we are. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy that's new every morning. Amen.